Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to JFOD News, the only place you should get your news. Why would you get your news anyplace else? You just need to get it here. You know, the news that I read from people who actually make the news seems like the best way to me, really. I don't know. Coming to people at a different time today, making it very difficult for the folks who join me in the chat to join me in the chat. But hopefully some folks will turn up. We'll see what happens. I will not take it personally either way. Up front, anybody listening on any of the streams or listening on the podcast, if you have not yet connected with me on jfodnews.com, please do. What are you waiting for? I just sent out a newsletter yesterday. So you can get in my mailing list. Makes me so happy when I get a notification that someone else has joined. So that's a nice way that you can help me out. jfodnews.com is the thing to do. I recently released a new web series episode called The Great Reset. It's great with a whole bunch of eights in there. That is a satirical, conspiratorial web series all about Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and the Great Reset and the attempted techno-fascist takeover of society. So you might dig that. I would say check it out. All right, in the chat, we got some folks. We got Shayar saying good afternoon. Good afternoon back to you. I appreciate you being here very much. Very excited about the article we're going to read through and do some commentary on today. It is from The Gray Zone. Great independent news outlet, The Gray Zone. And it is by T.J. Coles, an excellent independent journalist. And it is entitled, Backed by AFRICOM, Corporations Plunder DR Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, for, quote, climate-friendly, end quote, materials and blame China. Let me read that again. Backed by AFRICOM, AFRICOM is basically our military presence in Africa, U.S. Africa Command. Backed by AFRICOM, corporations plunder the Democratic Republic of Congo for quote-unquote climate-friendly materials and blame China. Whoa, all right, some light reading today from The Gray Zone. Gray Zone, by the way, their website is thegrayzone.com. That's gray with an A. You should definitely check out all of their work and support them. And also support TJ Coles, the great journalist who wrote this. This was written back in late November of 2021. And we'll get into it in a second. Let's just check and see if anybody is hanging out. All right, a few more people join the chat. Very cool. Hello. Let's get into it, shall we? Let's start a reading. First, let me actually bring up the tab so people can see it. There we go. As you can see here, you got your, there is the, let's see, what is that? That's the Congolese National Armed Forces image there of them. And then you've got this great article. Backed by AFRICOM, corporations plunder DR Congo for climate-friendly materials and blame China. I promise you that's the last time I will read the title of the article. Let's see what we got here. There I am. There's the article. Let's do this thing. Cobalt, a key metallic element used in lithium batteries and other green technology, is sourced from slave labor in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Wow, that is intense first sentence. That is an intense first sentence of the article. It is very true. Cobalt is needed for all sorts of things. Lithium battery is also needed in all sorts of for solar panels and stuff like that. And you've got slave labor, also oftentimes child slave labor in the Congo in order to get it. So we can feel like we have this quote unquote green technology. It's truly, truly messed up. Cobalt, a key metallic element used in lithium batteries and other green, quote unquote, technology, is sourced from slave labor in the Democratic Republic of Congo. As the West points the finger at China, the U.S. Africa Command is indirectly policing mining operations that profit U.S. corporations. Awesome. Okay, some history here. Ever since Belgium's King Leopold II, who lived from 1835 to 1909, established the Congo Free State in 1885, international powers have exploited the region's vast resources, leading a regime that went on to kill an estimated 8 million people to plunder their gold, ivory, and rubber. Excuse me. Leopold reportedly described Congo as, quote, a magnificent African cake. Creepo. More recently, U.S. President Biden's International Trade Administration declared, quote, with total mineral wealth estimated in the tens of trillions of dollars, end quote, what is now called the Democratic Republic of Congo, quote, offers opportunities for American firms with a high tolerance for risk, end quote. The role of the Africa Command is to reduce the risk. The U.S. Department of Defense says that Africa, quote, has a plethora of strategic materials such as cobalt, chromium, tantalum, and more. African resources are critical to 21st century progress, end quote. Read U.S. corporate dominance. Yeah. Wow. The Biden International Trade Administration is just straight up saying it. Hey, we need to exploit and plunder Africa for our corporate dominance. And honestly, I'm going to say this, for an actual implementation of this co-option of nature called the Green New Deal, because they need all of these different minerals and elements and different things in order to make the Green New Deal happen with that infrastructure. And that is all going to be coming off of the backs of slave labor and exploitation in Africa. Not cool, AOC. Anyway, it's called greenwashing, you guys, and it's fucked up. From the late 1990s to the present, Euro-American mining, processing, and financial corporations have relied on the slave labor of miners and the muscle of armed gangs to export rare earth metals such as coltan and tantalum to the West for vital components in computers, phones, missiles, etc. The rush to renewables ushers in a new era of competition for the rare metal cobalt. Cobalt is very, very important for renewables. The U.S. sets its sight on a mineral-rich Congo. DRC has an estimated population of 93 million people. The country's entire gross domestic product is around $50 billion. That's crazy how little that is compared to the population, making it one of the poorest countries in the world. As trillion-dollar companies like Apple, Microsoft, and Tesla rely on DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo's materials, 7 in 10 Congolese survive on less than $1.90 a day. Life expectancy is 60 years compared to 78 in the U.S., and infant mortality is 66 deaths per 1,000 live births compared to 5.6 in the U.S. The Pentagon's main interest in Congo began during the Second World War, 1939 to 1945. Owned by Belgium's Union Minière, the Shinkolobwe mine in the southern Katanga province contained the purest known uranium ore, which the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers used in the Manhattan Project, launched in 1942 to construct the world's first nuclear weapon. Ore from the mine was used in the subsequent manufacture of nuclear weapons. Whoa! That is the ore that was used in the Manhattan Project, man. That is wild. See if anything's going on in the chat. Oh, we got some more folks. Cool, cool. Oh, D. Dozier saying, please say this is a call for an uprising. I promise you that I am not a call for an uprising, which is a different channel of a person who I guess never reveals who they are. But there's this weird little YouTube conspiracy that I am that person. But I promise that I'm not. I'm John F. O'Donnell. Shannon Sun, Moon Virgo, welcome. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. Let's keep going. By the 1950s, the U.S. State Department planned to invest $660 million, around $7 billion today, to, quote, develop Congo's infrastructure for corporate exploitation. In 1960, Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba declared independence from Belgium, naming the country the Republic of the Congo and making relatively mild overtures to the USSR. The politician Moise Tshombe declared Katanga's independence from ROC. M16 murdered Lumumba, and the CIA replaced him with its asset, General Mobutu Sese Seko, who later renamed the country Zaire and ruled until his overthrow in 1997. Wow, that's crazy. Throughout the 1960s, the CIA essentially created and managed the Zairean Armed Forces, Forces Armées Zairelles, the ZAC, training special air units and hiring mercenaries to bolster Mobutu's forces. Tshombe's secession was crushed, as were intermittent struggles such as the Simba Rebellion from 1963 to 65, one of whose leaders was future President Laurent Désiré Kabila. The U.S. reluctantly tolerated small Cuban and Chinese military contingents in Zaire because they did not affect mining operations. By the 1980s, Belgian, French, German, and Israeli personnel were also training the ZAC. Interesting. Very interesting. What's going on in the chat? Oh, Shannon Sun, Moon Virgo says, thanks, and Fantasy Redacted Days, right on. Thanks for being in here. Cool, cool. Vegan Succubus, what is up? Nice to see you, as always. Cool. I'm glad this is the only place that you get your news, as well you should. Why would you take in news anyplace else? You just need the one article that I have curated for you every day. And that's the deal. Rock on. Here we go. Washington plays innocent bystander while fueling intrigues. Geographical considerations, the involvement of neighboring states, international interference, the role of specific ethnic groups in particular conflicts, and shifting paramilitary alliances make the Congo wars extremely complicated. Yeah, it sounds like it. What follows is a basic outline focusing on the largely overlooked U.S. role. Oh, man, this is interesting stuff. And it's really interesting to learn about the Congo because of the resources they have and how important they're actually going to be in terms of exploitation for the Fourth Industrial Revolution and for the Great Reset. And we don't even know about it at all. Since at least 1990, the U.S. has used Uganda as a conduit to arm Zaire / Democratic Republic of Congo. Until Uganda's role in the wars was exposed, the Bill Clinton administration's African Crisis Response Initiative saw an initial round of U.S. military training for the Uganda People's Defense Force. Clinton's international military education and training programs continued regardless. Both programs worsened the Congo crisis, as we will see. Huh. Another shitty thing the Bill Clinton administration did. Who knew? I guess it wasn't just the Telecommunications Act that did a consolidation that allowed for deregulation that led to the consolidation of corporate mass media to where we are today. Decoupling, getting rid of Glass-Steagall, which allowed, which basically down the line led to the financial crisis. That dude, mass incarceration, awful foreign policy as well, food for oil program in Iraq, and now also this terrible shit that he did in Africa that I didn't even know about. The centerpiece of the first Congo War, you know, I dare to say craziness, all of those awful things I just named and the terrible things that they've led to in our country, total financial collapse, and the total corporate media takeover, plus all of the awful foreign policy stuff. Policy wise, I'm going to say Bill Clinton was a worse president than dumpster fire himself, Donald Trump. I fucking said it. Here we go. The centerpiece of the first Congo War that began in 1996 was the overthrow of General Mobutu, led by Kabila's Alliance of Democratic Forces for the Liberation of Congo, the AFDL. The AFDL was supported by the Rwandan Patriotic Front, whose Major General Paul Kagame, now the president of Rwanda, has been trained by the U.S. at Fort Leavenworth. RPF personnel were trained by the Green Berets. Okay, so we're training more mass murderers. Awesome. Rwandan President Paul Kagame. Okay, described as a, quote, visionary by U.S. General George Ajolowan, Kagame had honed his craft murdering Hutu during the Rwanda genocide in 1994. Nice. This is who we team up with and train. Hundreds of thousands of Hutu fled into DRC, settling in the eastern regions where the mineral resources happen to be located. The RPF and its allied paramilitaries occupied DRC initially to help build up Kabila's armed forces, but also to avenge massacres of Tutsi and secure the mines. We can plausibly assume, based on chronicles of events, that Washington's role was to play innocent bystander while benefiting from the mining and supply chain operations of the RPF, Ugandan military, and related gangs. Okay. Awesome. Way to go. Cool. Oh, Vegan Succubus says, happy to see you on Slow News Day this morning, J-Fod. You're such an awesome human. Thanks for always being you. Oh, that is so nice to hear. I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Vegan Succubus. You rock. You really do. Foreign demand for rare earth minerals drives an unprecedented death toll. Here we go. This is what I'm talking about. This is a real problem with this greenwashing that's happening and not realizing that, yes, we are destroying the earth in a lot of ways. And there's all sorts of environmental degradation and pollution and things like that that are happening, and overfishing of our fisheries and things like that. But everything in the name of climate is causing all sorts of problems. Everything in the name of climate, bowing down to the altar of carbon, is causing us to tear up the entire earth. I really implore people to look into Michael Schellenberger's work. He's got a great book called Apocalypse Never, how environmental alarmism hurts all of us. Definitely worth reading. He's got a great interview you can find of his Climate Change is Real, but it's not our biggest issue, or it's not that big of a deal, or something like that. I'll put that link in the notes. It's really interesting stuff. Michael Schellenberger is worth looking up. Even before Kabila seized power, international mining and infrastructure giants were negotiating contracts with the AFDL party. American Mineral Fields landed a $1 billion deal to mine the Democratic Republic of Congo. Bechtel hired NASA to provide satellite images of mineral-rich regions and allegedly acquire information on rebel movements for Kabila's military. As Anglo-American, Barrick Gold, De Beers, and other corporations signed mining contracts, Kabila created the Banque de Commerce, du Development et l'Industrie to finance mining operations. The bank was based in Rwanda, from which untraceable coltan sourced from DRC conflict areas was exported to Western corporations, including Aframex, Bonro Resources, and Union Transport. Awesome. This is how the exploitation happens. Great. The Second Congo War from 1998 to 2003 and de facto to the present has led to the deaths of an estimated 5.4 million people. Oh my God. Most of them civilians who perished from war-related hunger and disease. The war was in large part an effort by different powers and factions to back or depose the Kabila family dynasty, seize control of resource-rich areas, and to settle long-standing rivalries. Unlike the first war, this one was explicitly driven by demand in Asia, Europe, and North America for rare materials. The Wall Street Journal reported at the time that Kabila's nationalizations, quote, sent a worrying signal to foreign companies that are eager to do business in this mineral-rich country. Kabila soon fell out with his Ugandan and Rwandan backers, who in 1998 helped to form a new party, the Rally for Congolese Democracy, RCD. The anti-Kabila RCD splintered into militant rebel groups and advanced across the country. Troops from Angola, Chad, Libya, and Zimbabwe entered DRC to back Kabila, who was assassinated in 2001, leaving his son Joseph, born in 1971, to rule from 2003 until 2019. Okay. As far as international investors were concerned, the myriad rebel factions were crucial for maintaining the supply lines of rare materials. Typically, they were smuggled to Europe-bound cargo planes via Rwanda. So yeah, the international investors needed these rebel factions. They needed this war to continue in order for them to better smuggle their important minerals and elements out of the country. That's truly sickening. Okay, this is an image here from the Kony 2012 PSYOP by the NGO Invisible Children. All right, and it's a bunch of young people from the West with their hands up in the peace sign. Let's see what this is about. First, let's check the chat real quick, see what's going on. Cool. Cool. Shannon Sun, Moon Virgo says, this sounds like Corey Morningstar's reporting too. If anyone doesn't know her, please check her out too. Yeah, for sure. Corey Morningstar is doing some of the best work revealing this fake Green New Deal, all of this greenwashing. She's got stuff at wrongkindofgreen.com is where she blogs. She also has a great book out called The Manufacturing of Greta Thunberg. And she is definitely worth following. She's a great follow on Twitter as well. That's Corey Morningstar for sure. Good call, Shannon Sun, Moon Virgo. Cool. All right, let's do this. Kony 2012, K-O-N-Y, a U.S. Psy War op aimed at protecting a key proxy. All right. This article is so interesting, man. Here we go. Uganda's president, Yoweri Museveni, was one of America's top proxies in DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, and a UN report describes Uganda as a main sponsor of the conflict. In his effort to remove Museveni, the so-called Lord's Resistance Army, led by the cultish Joseph Kony, attacked Uganda from DCR. In 2006, the UN backed Uganda's invasion of DCR to hunt for Kony. In 2006, the UN backed Uganda's invasion of the DRC to hunt for Kony. The newly formed U.S. Africa Command, AFRICOM, provided covert assistance to Uganda, including training and satellite phones, in a failed counterinsurgency war, which caused the LRA to exacerbate their killings in DRC. What a clusterfuck. From 2011 to 2017, the U.S. initiated the anti-CONI operation, Observant. It was called Observant Compass. As part of the mission, the U.S. Special Operations Command Africa established a task force, quote, to command and control the operation that stretched from Uganda through the eastern DRC into the Central African Republic and across South Sudan, end quote. Personnel from the fabled A-Team served as advisors to the African Union Regional Task Force. Okay. Released in the eponymous year, the documentary CONI 2012 brought the atrocities of the LRA to international attention. But U.S. Special Operations Command documents suggest that the film's producer, the NGO Invisible Children, was unwittingly part of a U.S. psychological warfare operation. Army Special Operations Forces named the Congolese and Ugandan militaries, as well as several NGOs, including Invisible Children, as, quote, partners in their operations. Holy shit. Unlike the first attempt, Observant Compass reduced the LRA's numbers and notoriety. Yeah. So they convinced all these people to be part of this Invisible Children campaign, but it was really a psychological operation. That's crazy. Wow. Army Special Forces named the Congolese and Ugandan militaries, as well as several NGOs, including Invisible Children, as partners in their operation. That's crazy. All right. Here we go. Let me get a sip of water here. Next section. As China fears arise, AFRICOM enters the fray and atrocities ensue. All right. Washington and various European former colonial powers shifted policy from indirectly backing proxies like the Uganda and Rwanda supported rebels to, quote, professionalizing, end quote, the Central Armed Forces. Okay. The George W. Bush administration introduced a DRC security sector reform program, which included hiring the private contractor Camber Corporation. All right, I'm sure Camber Corporation, some evil, sadistic shit. The Bush administration's urge to professionalize and legitimize the FARDC, that's the Central Armed Forces, the Forces Armed de la République Démocratique du Congo, the FARDC. The Bush administration's urge to professionalize and legitimize the FARDC coincided with China's growing activities in the country. A Fort Benning trained and doctrine command document bemoaned the fact that in 2007, quote, China signed an agreement with DRC in which China provides $5 billion for infrastructure improvements in exchange for rights to DRC's natural resources, end quote. Now that China was in DRC, human rights and traceability supply lines suddenly became a concern for Washington. U.S. advanced training of the FARDC coincided with the passing of Dodd-Frank 2010, which required the Securities and Exchange Commission to mandate companies to verify supply chains. Okay. In the same year, AFRICOM facilitated the U.S. DRC military partnership. Oh, in the same year, AFRICOM facilitated the U.S. DRC military partnership. The objective was, quote, to transform the FARDC, among other things, for internal security operations. A new light infantry battalion was inaugurated by U.S. Ambassador William Garvelink at the Kisangani Base Camp in north-central DRC. Training was provided under AFRICOM's Special Operations Command, led by Brigadier General Christopher Haas and unnamed State Department contractors. By September, 750 soldiers had graduated in what AFRICOM describes as, quote, a model for future reforms within the Congolese armed forces, end quote, and reveals the creation of a new 391st Commando Battalion. Commander of training at Camp Base, Major John Peter Malengo said, quote, in 2006, our President Bush promised a transformation of the DRC armed forces. I see this as an important step, end quote. Within a few years, the important step was revealed for what it was. Members of the battalion had been exposed by the UN looting villages, murdering civilians, and raping dozens of women and girls, some as young as six. Within a few years, this important step was revealed for what it was. Members of the battalion had been exposed by the UN, looting villages, murdering civilians, and raping dozens of women and girls, some as young as six. Sick. Stars and Stripes reported, quote, AFRICOM declined to comment, referring questions to the U.S. State Department. Again, groups that we fund and train and arm. So much shit happening in our name. So much war all over the world happening in our name and funded by us. Just, and we don't even know about it. It's absolutely crazy. Anything going in the chat? Cool, cool. Oh, Another Worldview is Possible is in the chat. Right on. What's up? Cool, cool. Good to see you. Yeah. All right. Wow, I know the cool kids are hanging out now. I love it. Good to see you. Cool, cool, cool. What do we got here? Oh, cool. There's another stream. Feel free to join. Follow the stream, y'all. Anyone makes an account can post to it now. Cool. It's about COVID truth stuff. I like that. Another Worldview is Possible. Cool, cool. All right. Let's keep moving. How much we got here? Okay, yeah, this is a long article. Why did I do that? Okay, cool, cool, cool. Uganda's military spreads chaos. If adding to chaos is the goal, AFRICOM's strategy is working. To date, there are 4.5 million internally displaced Congolese, over 1 million of whom lost their homes during fighting in 2016-2017 alone. Like the LRA, another rebel group, this time Islamic, oh my gosh, a lot going on here in the Congo, huh? Called the Allied Democratic Forces, ADF, bolted from the Ugandan military and based itself in DRC, where it is now attempting to establish a caliphate. The UN Organization Stabilization Mission, DRC, is helping the FARDC. Operations that began in North Kivu in November 2019 wound up displacing 400,000 people. In a repeat of botched U.S. efforts to conquer the LRA, FARDC tactics caused the ADF to enter previously peaceful territory. Founded in the 1970s, the Cooperative for Development of the Congo, the CODECO, CODECO, is an umbrella of militia based in Ituri province in the northeast. CODECO mainly consists of ethnic Lendu who are engaged in long-standing conflict with the Hema people. Despite the July 2020 peace agreement, FARDC operations have exacerbated the violence. Man, this is a lot going on, man. Founded in 1969, the ethno-federalist Congo Majority Bundu Dia Congo, the BDK, is a Christian cult that encourages violence against non-Congo peoples, even setting up roadblocks to divide communities. The BDK faces crackdowns by the police and FARDC, which in April 2020 launched anti-BDK operations in Congo Central and in the capital, Kinshasa. Whoa. Okay. That is a lot, man. there is a lot of military, militia, factions, civil war, civil unrest. There's a lot going on. And that dynamic allows the West to extract all sorts of minerals and resources from this country for our purposes. Here we go. This is the part I'm very, very interested in as well. Greenwashing, the race for trillions in renewables profits. Greenwashing, the race for trillions in renewables profits. As the violence continues across much of the country, so do the exports to most of the world. Corporate profiteering from the global climate emergency has triggered a cobalt rush. The unreliability of DRC supply chains has also triggered a move to design cobalt-free renewables. Interesting. Concentrated among 3,000 companies, the so-called global green economy is worth $4.5 trillion, more than the international oil and gas sector. Think about that. That's crazy. The renewables market alone is worth over $600 billion. Electric vehicles are valued at around $170 billion and expected to growth to $700 billion within the next 5 years. Cathodes are an essential part of the lithium ion batteries that until the LIBs that until recently had been ubiquitous but tiny, hitherto requiring small amounts of cobalt. The emerging EV, electric vehicle market, means that large 100 kilowatt per hour LIBs contain 20 kilograms of cobalt in their cathode components. The U.S. Department of Energy explains that in addition to being mined, cobalt is obtained as a byproduct of other materials and almost entirely sourced from abroad, making U.S. businesses dependent on metal markets and exporting countries. American corporations are therefore, quote, looking to secure sources of cobalt to drastically reduce the cobalt content in lithium batteries or both. At present, 255,000 Congolese people mine for cobalt, mainly in the conflict-free South, earning less than $2 per day with no benefits in conditions that are both immediately hazardous, e.g. collapsing tunnels, dangerous tools, and carrying long-term risks, e.g. respiratory orthopedic issues. Some 40,000 cobalt miners are children. Bolstered by their legal obligations to report to the Securities and Exchange Commission, numerous U.S. corporations have attempted to greenwash their supply chains by claiming they are sourced ethically. The Anglo-Swiss mining giant Glencore has a market capitalization roughly equal to DRC's entire GDP. In recent years, it has signed partnership pledges with renewable customers to ethically source cobalt. Think about that. One company that is mining in this country has market capitalization that is close to equal to the entire GDP of the country. That means that the people of the country do not get to capitalize off of their own natural resources. They do not get to benefit fully off of their own natural resources. If just one of the corporations is in their mining, essentially has the equivalent to their entire GDP. That's crazy. In recent years, it has signed partnership pledges with renewable customers to ethically source cobalt. Other initiatives include Apple's supplier responsibility progress reports. BMW, Samsung, and others, meanwhile, have launched the Cobalt for Development project. Tesla says that it will phase out cobalt from its lithium batteries, and in the meantime has joined the Fair Cobalt Alliance. But a recent class action lawsuit on behalf of several injured Congolese miners alleges that Alphabet, that's Google's parent company, Apple, Dell, Microsoft, and Tesla are, quote, aiding and abetting the cruel and brutal use of young children to mine cobalt. Awesome. Let's see what's going on in the chat. Cool, cool. Moved and seconded at Vegan Succubus is now nominated for the position of moderator. I am so cool with that. Let's see. Vegan Succubus says, I know the world is suffering and in pain. We are on the brink of, I don't even know at this point. Another Worldview is Possible says, just makes me more grateful to connect with like-minded individuals. Absolutely. It is very important to figure out how to build a sense of community, because that's what we're going to need. We're going to need to have a community where at some point we're going to need to separate from this system, from these institutions, and create parallel institutions together. And we have to find like-minded folks in order to do that, I think. All right, playing the blame China game. Okay, now I have a feeling in this part of the article, I may very well agree with everything the author says, but I may not, because I don't necessarily think that China is a good actor in Africa. I think that they're exploiting Africa just in a different way. So let's see what he has to say. I think in terms of, you know, providing money for the Belt and Road and providing money for infrastructure and stuff like that. But then when African countries can't pay back those loans, China takes over certain industries and resources that those countries have, similar to the IMF and World Bank. But that's just my assessment right now. Playing the blame China game. Here we go. Despite the greenwashing, the cobalt mining, refining, smelting, and exportation industries remain dangerous. Despite the greenwashing, the cobalt mining, refining, smelting, and exportation industries remain dangerous, exploitative, polluting, and terrible for public relations. On the other hand, these conditions help to keep production costs low and profits high. The informal solution for many Western businesses and governments is to deploy media, NGOs, and the intelligentsia to point the moral finger of blame at China, whose corporations operate extensively in southern cobalt-rich DRC. Okay, I agree with that. I agree that there is the blame China aspect. I don't necessarily, he hasn't said this, but if he does, I don't agree that China is a good actor in its exploitation of Africa, but I don't know. Here we go. For example, a recent Guardian article exposes the cruel working conditions in the town of Fungurume imposed on small and artisanal miners contracted by the big so-called legitimate companies like China's Malib Dinam, describing a, quote, slave and master relationship. One of thousands of miners revealed how he works for $3.50 a day, eating two tiny bread rolls with wages deducted for missing work. Okay. You can see here, this is the Guardian article. The report was funded. Now, here's the thing. Why can't that be true? And at the same time, Western corporations still be exploiting Africa and the Democratic Republic of the Congo at the same time. That's my question. The report was funded by Humanity United, an NGO founded by eBay billionaire and Intercept owner Pierre Omidyar's wife, Pam. Humanity United has received grant money from numerous sources, including the William J. Clinton Foundation. This grant funded Humanity United's continued contribution and membership of the 2011 Clinton Global Initiative, end quote. Okay. Sure, it's definitely got shady funding. There's no doubt about that. But such reports omit that China's Malibidam, that's the name of that corporation, is owned by U.S. institutional investors, JP Morgan Funds, Vanguard Total International, Vanguard Emerging Markets, BlackRock, and others. Amnesty International traces the downstream supply chain of Chinese acquired cobalt to Asian, European, and U.S. corporations. That is interesting. Cobalt is typically smelted and refined by China's Huayu and its CDM subsidiary, put into batteries by Amperex, BYD, LG, Samsung, Sony, and others, and sold as components in Apple, BMW, Dell, Fiat, Chrysler, GM, Microsoft, Tesla, and other Western products. Okay. But I mean, China's still exploiting the Congo as well for these resources. I think both are doing it. I don't know. What do you guys think in the chat about that? Let me know. Oh shit. Slow News Day is here. What's up, Steve? How you doing? Thanks for being here. Right on, dude. It was great. It was great being on this morning. I really appreciate it. It was really fun to talk and to just vent shit out, man. Cover some articles on SND. Fucking rad. All right, here we go. Weaponizing space to win the quote great power competition. DRC is directly linked to Washington's long-term efforts to rule the world by force. Just as King Leopold II described Congo as a magnificent African cake, what a freak show, ex-U.S. Naval Intelligence Officer Dr. Mir Sadat, Policy Director of the National Security Council, says, quote, great power competition in space is in some ways analogous to the great game of the 19th and early 20th centuries between Great Britain and Russia, which competed over access to resources and geostrategic positioning in Central and South Asia. Today, there is a similar great game brewing between China and other spacefaring nations led by the United States over access to potential cislunar between Earth and Moon, that means, resources and overall space dominance. Great, dude. Got to militarize space. We got to do it. It's the new frontier, man. We got to get more markets for our weapons. Ugh. But it wasn't China that first declared its intention to rule space and therefore the world. In 1997, the U.S. Space Command published its, quote, full spectrum dominance doctrine to weaponize space by the year 2020 to protect U.S. interests and investments, read corporate profits, endangering us all. Full spectrum dominance includes hypersonic missile drones and high altitude craft that can strike Russia and or China with low yield nuclear weapons. Okay. Like other products that emerge from taxpayer funding under the cover of military research and development, satellites, computers, the internet, etc., space exploration is now commercialized through companies like Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin company, while serving the Pentagon by, for instance, launching military satellites, as Elon Musk's SpaceX has done. The Pentagon and other federal agencies describe this arrangement as the space industrial base, okay? Sadat helped to explain the Space Force, which largely took over from the Space Command, specifically naming cobalt and other rare materials as the, quote, greatest supply risks, a fear-mongering report about supposed lack of U.S. influence, co-authored by Sadat and sponsored by the Space Force, says, quote, the United States must compete for global market share and leadership, currently dominated by China, Russia, over terrestrial commodities, basic and manufactured, into the space economy. Bleep bloop. It may turn out that the millions of destitute Congolese sitting on tantalum and coltan, and the hundreds of thousands of slave-like and child miners toiling in hazardous conditions to extract these products are not the only victims. If the great game for full spectrum dominance continues without grassroots pressure to end it, escalating geopolitical competition between nuclear powers could annihilate the rest of the world as well. Whoa. Yeah. We can't let that shit happen. That would be crazy. That was an interesting piece for sure. Really interesting. Okay. Yeah. I wonder what you guys think in the chat about that. That like, yeah, sure. Maybe the Chinese cobalt that's extracted, or the cobalt that's extracted by China, ends up in the products of Western corporations. But that doesn't mean China isn't part of the problem, isn't part of the exploitation of the Congo. Sometimes I wonder if in making sure to fully castigate the West, Western corporations and Western nations, and rightly so, that we sometimes give a pass to China where that pass is not really warranted. I wonder if anybody has any thoughts on that. It's just something I've been thinking about lately. Let's see what's going on here. Cool. Let's see. Cool. What do we got? Okay. Slow News Day says, I'm 99% positive the RAND Corporation produced the full spectrum dominance doc. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, RAND Corporation is like this weird sort of private corporation that's very DOD affiliated. You know? Okay, Martin Rad says, it's not that China is better today. However, the accumulated hurt West has done through its history is far worse. Fair enough. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm just talking about today. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's this weird... Yeah, that's a good point, Steve. China has been a U.S. global partner since the 70s. Klaus and G hang out. China's eight immortal families have ties with the IMF, Rothschild, central banks the world over. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. That's what's going on. It's an important interview I need to rewatch between it's Whitney Webb interviewing James Corbett, and James Corbett is pretty in depth. Explaining how this U.S.-China global partnership works. And sometimes I feel like we forget about that, and we tend to just give China a pass when really the two global powers are working together. And I think it's important to keep that in mind. And sometimes it's hard to keep that in mind. But yeah, that's very well put, Steve. Thank you very much. Cool, guys. If we don't have anything else, that has been a really, really interesting article to learn about the Congo, learn about the greenwashing that's happening, learn about the extraction of all these resources. And once again, it's a country that doesn't get to benefit off of their own natural resources, which is a disaster. And this article from The Gray Zone, which you check out, thegrayzone.com. It's called Backed by AFRICOM, Corporations Plunder DR Congo for... quote, climate-friendly materials and blame China by TJ Coles. Look him up. He is a great independent journalist. I appreciate all of you guys being here. I appreciate everybody in the chat. AGT Archer says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Can't we finish trashing our planet first before we trash outer space? Fair point, man. Fair point, my man. Everybody, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for sharing this around. I appreciate it. And everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.